Paper Magic by Geoffrey E. Doherty. Print publication by IFWG Publishing Australia. All rights reserved. Print and ebook copyright 2013, Geoffrey E. Doherty, IFWG Publishing Australia, IFWG Publishing Inc. Audiobook copyright 2015, Geoffrey E. Doherty. This publication is read to you by Michelle O'Connor. For more information or to buy a print copy of this book, please visit www.papermagicbook.com. Acknowledgements. To Sandy Fussell, my brilliant writing mentor, your sometimes harsh critiques made me a much better writer. My gratitude is unending. To Jerry Huntman, my editor, and the entire team at IFWG for believing in the magic and taking a chance on me. To all my writing friends for advice, support, encouragement, and generally inspiring me to believe in myself. To my wonderful test readers from Eglinton Public School, Courtney, Bethany, Jess, Hannah, Kyle, Tom H., Marie, Michaelia, Caitlin and the two Sophies, Lucas and the Mandel family in Canada, Beth, another wonderful Canadian, Kylie, Louise, Tamika, Amy, Aidan and Bailey. I'm certain there are others I have forgotten. To them, thank you and my sincerest apologies. I have to give a special thank you to Mrs. Kerr and her wonderful 4K class of 2012. Having the opportunity to sit quietly in the classroom and watch the children's reactions as you read my stories is beyond value. To Grace for getting the story, I could have hugged you when you answered the question. To my character models, thanks Ben P, Kylie T, Danton B, Tori B, Jack's Nana, and especially Bethany W for bringing Marina to life in my mind's eye. Dedication for Maria. You are always there for me. For all the children in the world who, like Marina, find the courage to overcome their individual adversities. For Sarah Cook, such an indomitable young girl, you inspired me to create Marina. Chapter 1, Paper Magic.
Spin me faster. It's my turn on the swing. Race you to the top.
Words ghost into the room through the open window. Just once, Marina wishes. She looks out at the park like it's a miniature world of blue gloss carnival glass, paper trees and tiny Play-Doh children. Except it's the park that's real and she is the one trapped inside the box. Tears well up in her eyes. A child appears, just for a moment, at the top of the climbing frame. Marina imagines which voice belongs to this boy with the mess of copper-red hair. Beat you, he cheers, then disappears from view again. Marina longs to play in the park, to be like the other children, but she can't. She just can't. Have you tried on your new uniform yet? Mum asks from the doorway. No. Marina looks down at the blue check tunic, neatly folded and untouched at the far end of the window seat. Come on, Marina. This is the third time I've asked. Mum plants her hands on her hips. School starts tomorrow. Marina folds her arms tight across her chest. Now. Mum's tone startles her. Mum stalks across the room, shakes out the folds in the uniform and starts to pull it over Marina's head. I can do it myself. Mum thrusts the tunic into Marina's hands. She slips the tunic over her T-shirt and struggles to work it past her hips, tugging the hem down to just above her knees. Happy? Her arms cross again. Yes, cranky pants, Mum smiles, ignoring Marina's attitude. It fits perfectly. Now you can take it back off and fold it ready for tomorrow. I'll be in the garden. Morning sunlight slants through the lace curtains, turning dust motes into specks of coloured light. Marina stirs the gems of dust with clever fingers, watching the specks swirl and disappear into the pattern of shadows across her useless skinny legs. All knobby knees and ankles, yuck, she thinks.
I'll wear the stupid tunic, Marina calls to the empty doorway, but I'll wear it over my long pants. She hopes there are no cruel boys like Colin at her new school. His eyes would squint into glittery slits every time he snuck close enough to whisper mean things only she could hear. Seeing her uniformed reflection in the glass makes Marina's stomach do fish flips. The holidays are over. She's starting at a stupid new school tomorrow and she doesn't have any friends. Marina pulls the stupid blue tunic off and throws it onto the floor. Why the frowny face, dear? Marina twists around as Nana sweeps into the bedroom. Patterned scarves swirl like a bright mist around her. Mischievous eyes gleam from a face that's been wrinkled by a million smiles. Nana. Marina's frown melts away as she's swallowed in a lavender and cinnamon hug. Her hand automatically dips into Nana's bag, touching the smooth glass inside. She pulls out a crystal ball bigger than both her fists held together and presses it to her eye. It glows with sunlight and rainbows shimmer out from a tiny crack deep in the glass. It's like the crack in the teacup, Nana murmurs with an airy gesture of her hand. She says the same thing every time Marina stares into the glass. Nana loves being mysterious and often doesn't make any sense at all. People say she's odd and whisper behind their hands when they meet her. Marina knows that feeling all too well. But Nana has a special magic. She can always make her smile when she visits, and she can usually charm Mum into letting Marina try new things. And even better, Marina thinks, Nana always brings a gift. Last visit, she bought a basketball hoop for the backyard. Now Marina can score goals from almost halfway across the yard. Nana slips a pad of brightly coloured paper from her patchwork bag. Oh, don't look so hard done by, she says, as Marina wilts in disappointment. It is magic paper, after all. Oh, that's just silly, Marina pouts. There's magic everywhere, dear, if you know how to look for it, Nana waves an imaginary wand. With a sigh, Marina slumps her chin onto her hands, gazing back out at the park. Marina likes summer days. She likes the rich sounds and sharp colours, the warm feeling of sunshine on her arms and face, but the heat today makes her sticky and uncomfortable. I wish there was a cool breeze, Marina says at last. Nana sits down next to her and hands her the pad. The first sheet of paper is shiny pink and smells like bubblegum when the wrapper first crinkles open. Marina breathes in the candy smell and turns the sheet over in her hands, running her fingers over the smooth surface, trying to feel the magic. Marina lays the sheet down and begins to fold, scritching her thumbnail along it to make a sharp crease. Fold and scritch into a tight paper fan. She holds it up by her face. Nothing happens. Marina gives Nana an I told you so look. Concentrating is a big part of magic, Nana says. Marina concentrates on the paper. She even pulls a face, making her forehead furrow. Again, nothing happens. She throws the paper down. I can't do it. I can't do anything. You have to believe, dear. And you have to wish with all your heart. Nana smooths a crumpled edge of the fan and places it back in her granddaughter's hands. Marina takes a deep breath, closing her eyes. She wishes so hard, her nose wrinkles up and her eyes squeeze tight enough to see sparkles behind her eyelids. Peeking through her eyelashes, Marina sees a fine pink silk now covering the frame of polished cherry wood. White blossoms spray across the silk and delicate gold symbols run along the edges of the fan. The paper is magic. Marina rubs at her eyes, but the fan is still there. Flap, flutter, flutter. A cool breeze washes over her face, tickling loose strands of mud-brown hair from her freckled cheeks. I knew you could do it,
Nana flushes with pride. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. Nana is right. She always is. Marina looks out the window to the park. She has to go before she loses her courage, before she changes her mind. Marina scoots across the window seat and eases herself into her wheelchair. She has to go now, while the magic is still in the air. Chapter 2, Underwater Lilies. Marina guides her wheelchair down the ramp, the magic paper and the fan tucked safely in her lap. The front yard of the new house is raggedy. Creeping fingers of grass tug at the edges of the path and weeds choke the gardens. Four whiskered shrubs stand in the centre of the lawn. For a moment, Marina imagines shapes inside them. She shakes her head and turns to her mother. "Mum, can I play in the park?" Marina can't sit still. Her fingers grip the smooth wooden frame of the fan. Mum stabs her gardening spade into the dirt and looks up from the tangle of weeds. She stretches her back as she stands. "I have all this weeding to do, sweetheart." "I'm not a baby. I can go by myself." Marina's voice is soft, barely more than a whisper. "Absolutely not." Mum wipes sweat from her face with the back of her hand. "You'll have to wait until later." "Please, Mum, please." Marina bites her bottom lip, fighting the lump growing in her chest. Her hands clench together over her heart, trying to stop her courage from leaking away. Mum squats down beside Marina. Her eyes squint up and her forehead wrinkles. Marina knows that look. She's about to lose the battle. Her shoulders sag. "Oh, don't be so overprotective," Nana says from the doorway. "Marina will be fine in the park." Hope grows wings inside Marina's chest. Mum's face tightens. This old argument flares every time Nana visits. "I'll be careful, Mum, honest." Her heart skips. Nana raises her hand as Mum opens her mouth to reply, "I'll go with her." "Okay, okay." Mum throws her arms up in mock dismay. "You two are so much alike." She knows she can never win an argument against Marina and Nana. Marina gulps a deep, shuddering breath. Part of her wants to race back to the window seat, safe in her room, but another, bigger part longs to follow the Pied Piper sounds of children playing in the park. A sheen of sweat prickles on Mum's neck and she flutters the front of her shirt to cool herself down. Taking her fan from her lap, Marina trails her fingers across the smooth wood again. "This will keep you cool." With a flick of her wrist, a spray of white blossoms catch the sun and glow almost as brightly as Marina's smile. She holds the fan out to Mum. Mum kisses the top of Marina's head, following her out to the footpath. She waits by the front gate, hands clenched together, even after Nana pushes Marina safely across the road and into the cool shade of the trees. "Well, Marina, what are you waiting for?" Nana steps into the park, urging Marina through the gate with a flourishing bow and sweep of her arm. "Oh, Nana, you're such a child sometimes," Marina says, but her smile is even wider than Nana's. "Why, thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone has said to me in years." The path curves past a gurgling fountain where large black and gold fish swim in lazy circles under water lilies. Marina and Nana stop to watch a young boy chasing frogs. "Look at me," he calls. His face is flushed and serious. He reaches down into the water, catching one. It wriggles and slips through his fingers, landing with a plip back into the water. Splash! The boy topples in after the frog. He looks funny sitting in the water with a lily pad on his head. Roots trail like slimy braids through curls of dark hair. A drip of water wobbles on the end of his nose until he sniffs it away. Marina tries not to laugh, but a giggle slides through her fingers, just like a slippery frog. "I'm sorry," Marina says as the boy starts to cry. Tears mix with the water dripping from his wet hair. Marina races to the fountain's edge, reaching over the rim to help him climb out. His feet skid and slip on the slime stick bottom, but her strong arms steady him. While the boy stands dripping on the path, rubbing at his eyes, Marina takes a sheet of dark green paper from her pad. As she begins to fold, his sobs fade. Marina hops the paper frog towards him. "Can I have it?" he asks. "Sure," Marina looks over to Nana. Nana waves her imaginary wand in approval. As the boy takes the magic frog, Marina holds on to his hand. "Close your eyes," she whispers. "It's magic." When the frog starts to change and wriggle in his grasp, the boy nearly drops it. "Wow!" His eyes bulge as wide as the magical frog's. "Mummy, mummy, look, mummy!" he shouts, leaving a trail of squelchy footprints on the path as he runs, the frog clutched against his wet shirt. Chapter 3 On Butterfly Wings. Laughter and the rhythmic squeak of swings tug at a place low in Marina's chest. She can't see the playground from the fountain, but the sounds call her toward the bend in the path. "I could stay all day in these gardens." Nana has a bright petalled flower cupped in her hand. She stoops forward, sniffing deeply. Marina looks at the bend in the path, eager to explore the playground. "But you hate gardens." Nana laughs. "No, I hate gardening. I adore gardens when someone else gets their hands dirty." "Oh." Marina's shoulders wilt just a little. She gives Nana a smile, despite her disappointment. A dragonfly flashes past. It skims the fountain where the goldfish fins cut glittering ripples in the surface. Marina trails her fingers through the water. Plump yellow bees, their legs thick with pollen, bumble from flower to flower. She takes a deep breath, sweet jasmine and rose. The scents wash away the last lingering thoughts of hiding away safe in her room. "Maybe the gardens aren't so bad," Marina thinks. But the sounds from around the bend still call to her. The path winds through tiers of fragrant gardens. Statues of people and animals peek from behind the plants. Just beyond the fountain, a sign leads crookedly next to an arch of rainbow blossoms. Fairy Grotto. Marina peeks in at a circle of fat mushrooms and statues of fairies, no taller than her hand. A bottle brush fairy is frozen mid-twirl in a dance with a hopping mouse. Fans of feathery red tine stand bright above his butterfly wings. A wattle fairy bends forward in an elegant yellow bow, nose to beak with a willy wagtail. Behind them, the cold stone eyes of an enormous blue-tongued lizard peer from the shadow. The sinister lizard statue looks so real. Gleaming scales shimmer in the slanting light. Marina leans forward, stretching out her hand. Liquid black eyes blink. Hiss! Snap! Marina snatches her hand back. The reptilian jaws just miss her fingertips. The blue tongue is real. Marina's heart beats against the inside of her rib cage like the wings of a trapped bird. The lizard flicks its thick blue tongue and darts off deeper into the bushes. Marina can't see Nana. The sun is hot, but shivers chill Marina to the tips of her fingers and toes. She can feel the panic rising, the world closing in. Laughter and squeals from the playground clang harsh in her ears, the voices taunting. Marina's hands tremble. She wants to curl up in a ball to hide. Breaths rasp shallow and fast through her teeth. Marina's head feels light as a balloon tugging on a string, All the colours bleed out of the garden. Slow breaths. Marina counts them. Slowly in, slowly out. It doesn't help. Slowly in, slowly out. Slowly in, hold, slowly out. Until her heart stops trying to escape her chest. 17 breaths and the colours look right again. After 30 breaths, she doesn't need to count any more. Even the trembles are almost gone. Marina looks carefully back into the grotto. The lizard has disappeared, but the fairies remain, frozen in their silent dance, unconcerned. When Marina looks back up, Nana is standing by the fountain, watching her. Nana, Marina's look is accusing. She fights to keep tears from spilling down her cheeks. Nana crouches down, touching her arm. I was right here. You were doing so well calming yourself, I didn't want to interfere. But there was a lizard, and I thought you left me alone. It nearly bit me. The words tumble from Marina's mouth. You should have helped. Nana smiles brightly. I'm not a baby. I can go by myself, she announces, doing a perfect impression of Marina's voice. Isn't that what you told your mum? Yes, Marina replies. Well, I think you just proved yourself right. Marina's mouth drops open in astonishment. A lizard nearly snapped her fingers off and she didn't panic. Well, not much. I did, didn't I? Marina opens the pad of magic paper in her lap. The top sheet has swirls of red and orange and glittery gold on a background of midnight black. She turns the page over several times before she starts to tuck and fold. Busy hands help to calm her even more. Minutes pass in deep concentration. Marina makes the last fold on her new creation. The paper butterfly swells and pulses with life. Its antennae quivers and it spreads graceful wings that glow like stained glass windows in the church on summer Sundays. The sounds of laughter call to Marina again. She gives the path a wistful look before turning back to Nana. To her surprise, Nana is also staring toward the bend in the path. The smile lines around her eyes deepen. Why don't you go and play? She says. But Marina starts. Nana cuts her off with a dismissive wave of her hand. You don't want your old Nana holding you back. I'll be close by if you need me. Promise? Promise, Nana says. Marina holds up her hand and watches the butterfly flit higher and higher into the sky. Courage is fragile like butterfly wings, Nana tells her. But open them and you can soar. Chapter 4, Strawberry Swirls. Marina follows the path to the corner. Each time she looks back, Nana waves her forward. She'll get cranky if I look again, Marina tells herself. But she glances over her shoulder anyway, giving Nana a bright smile before disappearing around the bend. All on my own. Thinking about it this way is scary. Everything feels bigger, including her. Marina feels jittery and brave all at the same time. Mum would go crazy if she knew. She can't help grinning just a little. I'm not a baby. I can do things on my own. The bicycle track between the gardens and the playground is set out with lanes and street signs. Children tring their bells and pedal madly around the miniature streets. It must be fun to race a bike around the track, to go fast. Marina gazes wistfully at the busy riders. One small girl, bulging with protective pads and an oversized candy pink helmet, wobbles her bike from side to side. That's it, Taylor. Her father shadows her in a wheel straddling run. Marina can see the smile widening on Taylor's face. An older girl whizzes by. Streamers flick from her hand grips, buzzing like wasps. She cuts the corner, ignoring a stop sign. Taylor flinches and the wobbles increase, tipping the bike. Her father grabs for her, but she slips through his hands. "Hey," he yells after the older girl. The girl doesn't stop. She doesn't even look back. Taylor tucks her gravel-scraped hands under her armpits. She sobs back tears, trying to be brave, but steps away from the bike. "Come on, Taylor," her father says. He holds the bike upright for her to climb back on. She shakes her head, stubborn and sulky. "You'll be fine," he says. "I hate bikes. I can't do it without the little wheels." Taylor looks down at her feet, swiveling her shoulders from side to side. She's trying not to cry, but tears spill down her cheeks anyway. She bites her bottom lip and looks up as Marina races over to her. "Are you learning to ride?" Marina asks. "I can't do it." Taylor holds up her scraped hands for Marina to see. "Doing new things is hard, but you have to keep trying," Marina says. "I'm too scared to do lots of things, even coming to the park, but I came today." Taylor's father smiles at Marina. "Some things are hard and scary." Marina leans in and whispers the last bit to Taylor like it's a secret. "But don't let that stop you trying." After a long moment considering Marina's words, Taylor nods and rubs away her tears. She climbs back on the bike. Marina watches Taylor set off again. This time she's a lot steadier. "If you can beat me all the way around the track, I'll have a special surprise for you," Marina says, setting off and wheeling her chair as fast as she can. Taylor laughs, pedaling hard to catch up to Marina. A quarter of the way around, Taylor is riding like a natural. The wobbles are gone and her father is jogging to keep up. By the halfway mark, he stops running. "I can do it," Taylor shouts. Marina leans forward, pushing hard. Her arms ache and sweat itches between her shoulders, but she is going fast. The wind whipping her hair feels wonderful. Coming up to the finish, the girls are racing side by side. Taylor flashes over the finish line. "I won!" Marina is breathing hard, but her smile is as big as Taylor's. She takes a sheet of paper from her pad and looks over at the gardens. Nana is nowhere in sight. "It's my decision this time to use the magic or not." She tries to think what Nana would say. Taylor hops off the bike, clapping and smiling. "I did promise," Marina tells herself and starts to fold. Taylor takes the paper ice cream cone from Marina. "Oh," she looks a little disappointed. Marina understands. That's how she felt when Nana first gave her the magic paper. "What's your favourite ice cream flavour?" "Strawberry swirl," Taylor says, "with sprinkles." Marina gives her a thoughtful look. "With sprinkles?" Taylor nods. Her eyes go wide as a thin trail of rich strawberry ice cream dribbles onto her hand. She licks and slurps at her fingers. Her father finally catches up. He looks around, trying to figure out where Marina bought an ice cream cone. "Shh," Marina smiles and gives Taylor a wink. "It's magic." She sets off toward the playground, where three children are pushing each other in wide arcing sweeps on a tire swing. Chapter 5, New Friends. Enormous shade sails stretch protective blue wings above the playground. The tire swing creaks and slowly rotates. Empty. The children have left the equipment. She's too late. Marina stops next to a climbing frame shaped like a giant Christmas tree. The three children are playing chasings out on the lawn. The taller boy is it. His face flushes bright from running, making his freckles look thick and dark. Seeing his messy red hair, Marina thinks he's the boy she saw from her window, the one at the top of the climbing frame. "Ba!"
The girl in the group slaps her hand against a tree and grins triumphantly, sweeping a strand of pale hair back behind her ear. Marina struggles out onto the lawn. Her chair's wheels sink into the spongy grass. Even leaning forward and pushing the wheels as hard as she can barely makes the chair move. She slumps against the backrest and slaps the armrest hard enough to sting her hand. Stupid thing! They all look over at Marina. The smaller boy points and they whisper to each other, but they don't invite her to play. Each secretive glance stings. Marina pushes herself back under the shade sails and lets the toe of her shoe trail in the dirt. She pushes at the bright red tire swing. It sways slowly back and forth. She wants to climb up, throw back her head, screaming and laughing as it spins in a wild arc. But it's too high for her to get on by herself, and there is no one to push her even if she could. The children soon tire of their game and slump down under one of the shady trees to rest. They are staring again. A hot flush burns Marina's face, her fingers wrapped tight around the armrests of her wheelchair. I wish Nana was here to take me home. Marina looks back toward the gardens, but Nana is somewhere on the far side of the bend in the path. No, Marina sits up straighter, raising her chin. I won't go home. She closes her eyes and thinks about the magic, the waft of cool air from the fan, the laughter of the boy with his frog and the wide-eyed wonder of Taylor at the cool touch of the ice cream. Bit by bit, she starts to feel better. It doesn't matter if the children point and stare and don't invite her to play. We should have bought a ball, the older boy says. Marina's eyes flash open. He's looking over at the basketball court and the high netted hoop, just like the one in my backyard. Marina has an idea. She shuffles through the pad of paper and chooses a bright orange sheet. Once the last fold is done, she holds the shape up to her mouth and blows into a small hole in the top. The shape puffs out into a paper ball, a magic paper ball. Marina closes her eyes. The magic makes her confidence soar again. Girls against boys? Marina bounces the basketball over to the children. They look at her and then back at each other. Okay, says the girl, flicking the hair off her face again. Marina smiles and a light, cooling breeze brushes through her hair. It's the first breath of wind all day and it feels wonderful. I'm Toby, the older boy says. This is Amelia and her little brother Sam, he adds with a shrug. I'm not little, Sam says. Toby pats him on the head. I'm not. Don't worry, they're always like that. Amelia's expression says, well, they are just boys. What do you expect? I'm Marina. Out on the court, Toby hands the ball to Marina to start. She bounces the basketball and Toby steps back, giving her room. Too much room. Marina frowns at him and silently thanks Nana for her basketball hoop at home. She shoots the ball in a long, easy arc. It sails over Toby's head and through the hoop with a swish of net. Toby's mouth drops open. I've got strong arms, Marina says and flashes Amelia a grin. 3 points, Amelia cheers. So that's how you want to play it, Toby laughs and tosses the ball back to Marina. This time he doesn't stand back. Marina passes to Amelia and the game is on. For real this time. Toby gets the ball. Sam, run to the basket, he yells. Sam's small feet pound down the length of the court and Toby holds the ball high above his head, too high for Marina to reach. He gives her a playful grin. The grin disappears when Amelia sneaks up from behind and steals the basketball out of his hands. No fair, he shouts, but he's laughing even harder than before. Marina and her new friends race about the court until they're breathless and sticky with sweat. A wild ball skips off the backboard, bounces into a tree, then begins to roll down the hill faster and faster. Splash! It lands in the lake, sweeping out behind the park. Chapter 6, Sudden Magic.
Toby, Amelia and Sam stand at the bottom of the hill staring at the basketball. It bobs just out of reach in the bright water of the lake. "Sorry about your ball," says Toby. Sam picks up a crooked stick from the water's edge. He gives it an experimental swish, flicking a thin trail of mud onto the grass and Toby's leg. "Sam!" Toby wipes the slimy spots away with his hand. "Sorry." Sam kicks off his shoes and steps into the water. Slick mud squishes deliciously cool between his toes. He stretches, touches the ball with the tip of the stick. It spins in place. Sam reaches out until his shoulder muscles are tight like twisted rubber bands. Just not far enough. Whoa! Sam's foot slides out from under him. Amelia grabs the collar of his shirt and tugs hard. Sam stumbles back, landing on his rump. The stick drops from his hand with a splash and ripples lap and nudge the ball away from the bank. "Oh, thanks." Sam glares at Amelia, rubbing his bottom with one hand and his neck with the other. "You nearly choked me." "Well, next time I'll let you fall in then," Amelia says. They watch the basketball float further out onto the wide blue lake. A family of ducks paddle by. One curious duckling lags behind the others. Tok, tok, it pecks at the ball. The mother duck gives a stern quack and the duckling hurries to rejoin the group. "If only we had a boat," says Amelia. Marina is already folding. The paper boat is plain white with a sharp prow, white hull and tall white sail. Marina turns in her seat and takes a marker pen from a pouch on the back of her wheelchair. In her most careful handwriting, she names the boat and adds a sweeping arc of colour along the sail. Marina slides out of the wheelchair and seal scoots down the grassy bank. Amelia shades her eyes from the sun's glittery reflection on the water. She turns to find an empty wheelchair. Marina is lying face down in the grass at the water's edge. "Marina, are you all right?"
"I'm fine."
Marina stretches out her arm and places the tiny paper boat into the water. This will be the hardest wish of all. She closes her eyes and wishes with all her heart.
"No way," says Sam. "How did you do that?"
Toby's mouth continues to move, but he can't seem to find any more words. Amelia gasps as the boat grows before her eyes. A mast towers up into the sky. The white sail has a sweep of pink and the name Friendship 4 appears on the hull in flowing pink letters. Sam hops from foot to foot.
"No way!
Look at the sail," Amelia blurts out, then covers her mouth with her hands. They all stare at Marina.
"The paper's magic," she says, calm as if magic happens every day.
Marina tries to pull herself up into the boat. Toby helps her swing her legs over onto the deck. He watches as she scrambles awkwardly onto the bench seat at the back of the boat, near the rudder.
"Well," Marina beckons to them.
"Permission to come aboard?" Toby salutes.
"Permission granted," Marina replies, a smile lighting up her face.
Toby helps Amelia and Sam into the gently rocking boat.
"I want to be captain," yells Sam.
"It's Marina's boat," says Amelia.
"Cast off," Sam yells again.
Toby gives the boat a shove and leaps onto the deck. The boat slowly spins in the water. Marina looks back at the bank. "Does anyone know how to sail?" Toby, Amelia and Sam all shake their heads.
"I've read all about sailing," Sam says, moving toward Marina.
"Pirate books don't count," Toby says.
"You've never even been on a boat."
"Either of you?" Sam reaches for the rudder. "Anyway, how hard can it be?" Toby pushes past Sam and plonks down onto the bench next to Marina.
"You're too little to steer."
He grabs the rudder arm, leaving Sam standing with his arms crossed tightly across his chest.
"Am not?"
Sam glares, but leaves Toby to steer. The children set sail on their mission to rescue the stranded ball, which now bobs about in the middle of the lake. The sail billows out and the boat eases away from the shore. Toby grins and puffs himself up importantly. He's in charge of the boat. "Let's go," he says, pulling the rudder toward the ball. The boat dips in the water and starts to turn. "Wrong way, Toby." Marina grabs the rail. The thick wooden spar attached to the bottom of the sail sweeps across the deck in a wild arc, straight towards Sam's head. "Look out!" Amelia yells. Sam ducks and sprawls on the deck as the spar swishes past. "Careful," Marina calls, pointing to the family of ducklings directly in front of them. The ducks scatter and squabble at them as the boat's hull cuts through the middle of the group, leaving them bobbing and dizzy in their wake. The mother duck's angry wings fan up a spray of water. Toby lets go of the rudder. His hands are trembling. "How hard can it be?" he mutters, trying to copy Sam's voice. He doesn't look as puffed up and important now. The boat is adrift and at the mercy of the growing breeze. Chapter 7, Captain Sam. The children sit in the little sailboat on the far side of the lake. The breeze flicks at the sail with a sound like scattering pigeons. "Why are we going backwards?" asks Amelia, clinging onto a rope to keep the spar from sweeping across the deck again. "The wind's pushing us backwards," Marina says. "Great, we'll never get the ball back now," Amelia says. "Don't worry about the ball." Toby points at the tall reeds about to swallow the boat. "The leaves on those reeds are sharp as knives." "Sam, you've read about sailing," Marina says. "It's all up to you." She touches his arm, her face determined. The boat drifts closer to the tall swaying reeds. "We'll be stuck forever," Amelia says. "No, we won't," Sam announces, jumping to his feet. "We can't sail straight at the wind. We just have to tic-tac." He takes hold of the rudder. "Don't be silly," Toby frowns at Sam. "Tic-tacs are lollies." "I know what I'm doing," Sam scowls. The tall reeds are almost touching the back of the boat where Marina is sitting. "Loosen the line," Sam shouts, taking charge. Amelia lets out the rope she is holding and the spar wobbles. Sam waits. When the spar starts to swing, he turns the boat. It rotates in the water and tilts sideways into the tangle of reeds. "Now you've done it," Toby crouches down, leaning away from the sharp leaves. "We'll be cut to pieces," Amelia says. Sam stands at the rudder, a determined look on his face. The flapping noise stops and the sail snaps full and taut. "Hold the rope there, Amelia." Amelia pulls on the rope and the boat slices forward at an angle across the breeze. They pull out of the reeds and onto the lake again. Marina cheers, patting Sam on the shoulder. "You did it." "Yes," Sam pumps his arm in the air. "I did. Now we have to zigzag to get back." His grin is enormous. Even Toby is impressed. He gives Sam a thumbs up, then turns to find where the basketball is floating. It's way off to the right. Marina takes out a piece of navy blue paper from her pad. She folds a captain's hat for Sam and sits it on his head. Everyone laughs as Sam stands on the deck like Lord Nelson, with one hand holding the rudder and the other tucked neatly into his shirt. "Prepare to tic-tac," he orders. "Let's save the basketball." "Aye, aye, Cap'n," Marina replies in a most convincing pirate voice. They all duck their heads as Sam turns the boat and the spar swings in a wide arc across the deck. The boat slows for a moment, but the sail fills with wind and they slice forward again. "It's going to be a long, crooked trip back," Sam says, but he is in control. Sam steers the boat alongside the ball and Amelia reaches down to scoop it out of the water. Her foot slips. She grabs for the rail but tumbles into the deepest part of the lake. Her arms thrash wildly and her head dips under the water. "She can't swim," shouts Sam. Toby stretches his hand to her but the boat sails out of reach. It will take way too long to turn and sail back to her. "Help!" Amelia reaches out her arm, but her head dips beneath the water again. "She'll drown!" Sam shouts, trying to swing the boat around to save his sister. Marina snatches the captain's hat from Sam. Paper. She's never tried to change one of her creations back to paper before. "Please, please, please," she chants. There's no time and Amelia is depending on her. Panic builds, squeezing her chest. "Breathe." The hat flattens out, smooth and crisp in her hands. She rips away the top and both ends from the paper hat and flaps it open. The hat has become a life jacket. It swirls out again in her hands. Marina throws it out into the water, right in front of Amelia. "Good throw," Toby says. Amelia grabs the life jacket and slips it over her head. Sam steers the boat around and Toby pulls Amelia from the water. She's dripping wet and shivering with cold and fright, but the sun dries her hair and clothes in no time. Sam pouts, eyeing the life jacket that used to be his captain's hat. "We had to save Amelia," Toby says. "I know that," Sam says, "but it was the best captain's hat ever." "You're still the captain," Marina reminds him, and his face brightens. Soon it's time for everyone to go home. Marina hardly speaks as they sail back to shore. Today has been the best day of her life, and she doesn't want it to end. Sam pulls the mooring rope to keep the boat next to the bank while Toby and Amelia help Marina down. "Wait," Marina says. She reaches out, touching the rail with one finger. The boat dissolves back into its tiny paper form. Sam plucks it out of the water. "I'll never get used to that," Toby says. He and Amelia help Marina back into her wheelchair. Amelia hands Marina the last of her magic paper. "Here's your boat," Sam holds it out for Marina. "You can keep it, Sam," Marina says. "You are the captain, remember?" Sam hops about, holding the tiny paper boat to his chest like it's the greatest treasure in the world. The hill is too steep and grassy for Marina to wheel herself up, so Amelia pushes her to the top, back onto the path. As they pass the playground, Marina looks across to the tire swing. "Oh well, maybe another day," she thinks. "Do you think we have time for one last swing?" Amelia winks at Toby. He looks down at his watch. They are already late, but he remembers the look of longing on Marina's face when he first saw her sitting alone by the swings, and he can see the excitement on her face now. "I think we have time for one go." Marina claps her hands. Chapter 8, Better Than Magic. It's difficult getting up onto the bright red tire. They all have to work together. Amelia and Sam climb up after Marina. "Hold the chains tight," Amelia tells Marina. "Toby can spin this like a top." "Go, Toby!" Sam shouts, his knuckles clenched white around the chain. "Ready?" Toby pushes the tire in a slow circle, speeding up a little with each circuit. Marina leans back, looking up at the dizzying sky, feeling the wind on her face. She laughs. "That's nothing." Toby stops pushing the swing in circles. He plants his feet and grabs one of the chains, twirling on the spot like an athlete doing the hammer throw at the Olympics. He spins so fast his legs are pulled up off the ground. Sam hoots and Amelia squeals. Marina throws her head back as far as it will go and imagines she is flying. Her heart pounds and she laughs madly at the wild ride. The swing finally rocks to a stop. Toby flops back onto the ground, gasping to catch his breath. "That was brilliant," Marina pants, breathless with excitement. "The best ride yet," Sam says. Toby smiles and waves his arm weakly.
Back in her wheelchair, Marina looks up and sees Nana by the bend in the path leading back to the gardens. "There's my Nana," she points. "You have to come meet her." "Can I push your chair?" Sam asks. Marina nods. "But only if you push it fast." Sam's face lights up. "I can do that." He tears her along the curving path, making roaring engine and squealing tyre noises all the way. "Faster, faster," shouts Marina, spreading her arms wide and feeling the rush of air past her face. They skid to a halt beside Nana. "Oh, there you are," says Nana. "I was about to send out a search party." Nana doesn't look worried, though. Her eyes are crinkled with amusement. "Nana, this is Sam," Marina points behind her. "And here come Amelia and Toby." "I'm delighted to meet you," Nana says, giving the children a little bow. Toby looks at his watch again. "We really do have to get going now," he turns to Marina. "Here's your ball." "It's for you, Toby," Marina says. "But," Toby starts to protest. "Please, I want you to have it," Marina says. "You can bring it next time we play." Marina sits quietly for a moment, thinking hard. She has given Sam and Toby something. She wants to give Amelia one last gift as well. Marina carefully folds a chatterbox and hands it to her. "It will tell your fortune," she promises. Amelia tries it out, slipping her fingers under flaps and flicking them open and shut. "What colour?" she asks Marina. Marina hesitates and looks down at her lap. There are only two pieces of magic paper left, and she knows what the chatterbox will say. Without her magic, who would want to be her friend? Once the magic is gone, she will be alone again, stuck behind her window, staring out at the world. She shudders. This thought terrifies her. She blinks, hoping they can't see her tears. "Pink," Marina says at last. "P-I-N-K." Amelia works the chatterbox as she spells out the word. "What number?" "5," Marina replies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amelia's fingers flick out in time with her count. "What number?" 4, Marina says. 1 for each of us. Amelia opens the number 4 flap to find Marina's fortune. "You are going to be very happy," she reads, and grins at Marina. "Are you coming to the park next Sunday?" asks Toby. "We come every Sunday," says Sam. Marina looks down at the two remaining sheets of paper. The magic is almost gone. "This is all the paper I have left." Tears trace down her cheeks. "That doesn't matter," says Sam. "Silly thing," says Amelia. She kneels down, giving Marina a big hug, patting her back. "We don't care about the magic." "But..." Marina slaps her useless skinny legs and the arm of her wheelchair. "We don't care about that either," Sam says, with a dismissive flick of his hand. Toby puts his hand on Marina's shoulder. His tone is firm to make a point. "Friends are better than magic, especially when they can help me beat the boys at basketball," Amelia teases. "Did not," Sam starts to say, but stops when Marina laughs. "I'm going to be very, very happy," Marina whispers to Toby. She looks over and sees Nana talking quietly to Amelia and Sam. Nana is grinning, and there is a secretive look in her eye. "What are they up to?" Marina wonders. Chapter 9, A Magic Day. From the park gate, Marina and Nana watch the children leave. Amelia turns back to wave. "What were you talking about with Amelia and Sam?" Marina asks. "Who's a little sticky beak then?" Nana asks back. Marina knows that look. She could beg all day, and Nana still wouldn't give up her secret. With a sigh, she leaves the park and they head for home. Marina glides through the front gate into her yard. The weeds are all gone. A few pale and wilted flowers struggle under the hot sun, but Mum is hosing down the dry, black garden bed, soaking the spots where the flowers stand. She waves a dirt-stained hand at them. "You've been busy," Nana says. You found the animals hiding in the shrubs. Marina marvels, wheeling up to the first topiary bush. It is shaped like a fat green frog, and it reminds her of the paper frog she created for the boy who fell in the fountain. A swan, a deer, and a cat have been snipped and coaxed from the other bushes. They are brilliant, Mum. It wasn't too hard, she says. There are wire frames inside. I just had to trim off the whiskery bits. She's trying to sound modest, but has a proud sense of achievement in her voice. Marina takes the last two sheets of paper from the pad. One is a light spring green and the other a pretty shade of lilac. She folds the sheets into a flower and stem, carefully joining the pieces together. Eyes closed, Marina is ready to give away the last of her magic. She doesn't need it anymore. Marina slides down onto the lawn and scoots the flower across to Mum. They plant it together. With a playful laugh, Mum smudges a spot of mud on the tip of Marina's nose. "So how was your day?" asks Mum. "The best," says Marina. "I'm meeting my new friends at the park again next Sunday." Mum's smile widens. She lifts Marina off the grass and carries her back to the path. "So what did you get up to?" Marina thinks through all the day's adventures. "I helped teach a girl to ride a bike and a boy to catch frogs." "That's nice," Mum says. "I made friends with Toby, Amelia and Sam. We played basketball and went sailing." "Sailing?" Mum gives Nana a worried look, but Nana waves it away. "Yeah, that was the best adventure of all." Marina wriggles with the excitement of telling Mum about her day. "And Amelia and I are going to beat the boys at basketball again next week." "You have had an exciting day." Mum sits Marina back into her wheelchair and gives Nana a thank you smile. Marina is so happy. "I'd like to meet your friends. They sound nice." "Oh, they are the best friends ever." Marina's smile lights up her face. "I almost forgot," Marina adds. "I went on the tire swing too and nearly got bitten by a blue-tongued lizard. It was great." "Great? I'll have to take your word for it." Mum wheels Marina up the ramp towards the front door of the house. "Mum?" Marina remembers the rush and feeling of wind in her face when Sam raced her along the path. "Yes?" Mum looks down into Marina's flecked brown eyes. "Can I get a chair with slanty wheels so I can go fast?" Mum and Nana both laugh. Mum kisses the top of Marina's head. "Well, sweetheart, you have almost outgrown this wheelchair." Marina claps her hands with excitement. "Oh, I have totally outgrown this chair," she says as they disappear into the house. In the front garden, a beautiful butterfly with wings of swirling red and orange and glittery gold settles down to rest on the new lilac flower. It truly is a magic day. In the morning, Marina tries her best to be brave. Even holding her magic fan doesn't seem to help. Yesterday was a magical day, but looking at the uniform floods her with dread. What will the new school be like? Will there be kids like Colin, staring and whispering? The thought tightens her stomach. She closes her eyes, looking inside for some of her courage from yesterday. "Marina, aren't you dressed yet?" asks Mum. "I don't want to go." Her breath catches as she speaks. "I feel sick. It's just nerves," Mum says. Marina nods and with one deep breath picks up her tunic. Butterflies still churn in her stomach, but she straightens her shoulders, determined. "Now get dressed quickly or you and your friends are going to be late for school." Marina gives Mum an odd look, then scoots over to the window seat. In the front yard, Toby, Amelia and Sam are standing with Nana, wearing the same uniform as hers. "That's what the whispering was about yesterday," Marina grins. She didn't think to ask what school her friends went to, but Nana did. All her lost confidence floods back. "Hurry up, Mum," Marina says with a cheeky grin. "Help me get dressed. You don't want me to be late, do you?"
You have been listening to the audiobook version of Paper Magic by Jeffrey E. Doherty, performed by Michelle O'Connor. The backing music on this audiobook, Dreams by Krista Nicole, has been used with permission of the artist. We hope you have enjoyed this production. If you enjoyed this book, please leave a rating or review at Goodreads or Amazon. Paper Magic is an illustrated children's book. If you would like to view the illustrations, you can do so by visiting the author's writing and illustrating page on Pinterest, www.pinterest.com/Jeffrey E. Doherty. If you would like to purchase a print copy of this or the author's other books, you can order them from your local bookseller, from the publisher's online bookstore at www.ifwgaustralia.com, or from the author's website. If you would like to know more about the author, his books, or his art, please visit the website at www.jeffreyedoherty.com.